May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This week, this Passion Week, Holy Week, as we end our journey of Lent, we finish at the foot of the cross and the celebration of resurrection and new life and new creation. We really celebrate just the grace of God. And the grace of God that Jesus carried this week that we're reminded of just instructs me a lot about what grace is like and what grace does. When you've been doing what I've been doing, as long as I've been doing it now that I can say that, it's amazing how there's this conflict about the grace of God and what the grace of God looks like. You have some people who are scared to death of the grace of God, and so they just run in one direction and live under constant legalism. Then you have another group who thinks because you have the grace of God, you can just do anything you want to because it doesn't matter because God's going to love you unconditionally. And of course, both of those groups are wrong. Now, the truth is, the scripture says where grace abounds, where sin abounds, grace abounds or more. Grace is just extraordinary. The grace of God is extravagant. And when you watch Jesus do what he did this week and walk where he walked intentionally, carrying the grace of God is in the heart of the Father, you recognize how extravagant it is. But obviously, as Jesus, as a man, Son of Man, it says this about him in Psalm 45, verse 1 and 2. My heart overflows with a good theme, and I address my verses to the King, Jesus. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou, Jesus, art fairer than the sons of men, and grace is poured upon your life and lips. Therefore, God has blessed thee forever. And so Jesus walked in. He didn't just carry to give away the grace of God. He walked in the grace of God in his own personal life. He carried a grace of God, just an extraordinary level like no human ever has. He was God, but he laid that down and lived as the Son of Man and walked under an open heaven, lived under an open heaven and carried the grace of God. And yet it didn't look like a life of compromise. Jesus' life was extraordinarily sacrificial. He was extravagantly obedient, even to the point of suffering death on the cross. And so he's our example. It says he's the author and the perfecter of faith, right? And so when I see the Son of Man who came as second Adam to show us how to live, and he walked under more grace, there was more grace upon him and through his lips than any human who's ever lived, and yet grace on his life didn't cause him to walk in legalism. He was constantly confronting. He didn't run from grace into legalism. He was constantly confronting the legalism of the Jews, healing on the Sabbath, picking fights all the time, confronting their legalism. Yet he certainly didn't live a life of compromise. He walked in extraordinary holiness. He said again that he was going to go to the cross first and foremost because he wanted the whole world to know how much he loved his Father. He was being obedient to his Father's heart. There's this place in Acts chapter 4. We've referenced it the last couple of weeks, but Lord really ministered that to me this morning. And this is after the second time corporately they were filled with the Holy Spirit. The room shook. They all began to speak boldly and to prophesy. And in verse 32, in context of that, it says, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. And with great mega power, the apostles were giving witness for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and with great and abundant and mega grace was upon them all. And there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would distribute it to each as any had need. And it says mega, literally, and mega grace. Not only did they walk in mega power, but mega grace was upon them all. Now, how did that grace affect their lives? Well, they just partied and played and compromised, and they just said, I'm dark but lovely. God loves me. No, it caused them to live a life of sacrificial love, obedience, extraordinary giving. They gave away everything they had. Because you see, what the grace of God does, it so transforms us. It so deposits the love of God in us. Remember that place in Romans chapter 5? When he says, for the love of Christ has been shed abroad in our hearts. And that love that's been shed abroad in us, the deposit of God's grace in our life, just wrecks us and ruins us. Just changes. I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, it just makes you other, makes you different. Doesn't make you want to run around and compromise. It makes you want to give everything that you have up. And even though they gave all of it up to the brothers and sisters, they were giving it all up to Jesus. That's what grace does. If grace is really at work in a person's life, it ruins them from living a self-centered life. 2 Corinthians says this. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. The love of Christ, when it hits you square in your face, what Jesus carried this week, the cross, the death, the burial, the resurrection, all that for you and for me, for the joy set before him, he endured all that because of you and me. When that grace hits you, you don't only live for yourself anymore. It totally alters everything. Let me read just one more verse. I love this scripture. It talks about the grace of God and what the grace of God accomplishes. It says, for the grace of God, this is Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared to all men, bringing salvation. And this grace instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in this present age, longing for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. For CTKers, one of the things that we're going to see is that the believers in the book of Acts started with and lived with the end in view. Because the grace of God had so wrecked them, so ruined them. They didn't just live an extravagant life on earth. They lived longing. Hurry, my beloved, for this one who had so deposited such extraordinary love and grace in our life to see him face to face. That's what the grace of God does. That's what this week is the final touches of the grace of God in our lives and how it should impact us and infect us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.